Any yeshuas you have in mind, it should be yeshuas Hashem Karifayin for all the yeshuas.
Okay, oh, wait, today's date is May 10th, yeah. 9th of the year, yeah. During the time of Sfira.
Thank you so much. Thank you for getting it together.
I think it's better if it's over here. If we don't mind.
So we know we just came through the Yontif of Pesach, and I was going to ask you a question. Since some of you traveled somewhere today, how was your trip, let's say, from home to work? Some of you went to work today. Some of you went from one room to another. How would you describe today's trip? Any adjectives for that? How about us, my wife? How was it when you came from wherever you came to this room? How do most people describe that type of trip? Most people say it was uneventful. It was an uneventful trip. So, thank you so much for coming. Hi.
You
already started? I started at 12:15.
I know, I said 12:60, Mother.
It's okay.
Start again.
That's the way I am.
So. I know.
Can't help
that's
it.
What I said,
thank you so much. Thank you so much
for
coming.
Way
these cats. I appreciate it. So now that some people did arrive from outside, how was the trip to this house? It was probably uneventful, right? You had an uneventful trip. Uneventful trip.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to start asking. So we're going to learn right now that one of the foundations of Bitachon is that there's no such thing as an uneventful trip. And this has to do with Pesach. You know what I mean by this? But Moshe says like this. The Yom Tov came through is called Pesach. There could have been a lot of names for it. Any other names? Well, the Torah calls it other names, like Chag HaMatzos. But there's three things that are so important at the Seder, right? Pesach, Matzah, Mara. You could call it Matzah. Hello, thank you so much for coming. Why is this Yom Tov called Pesach? And what is it about Pesach that has to do with Bitachon?
I have to leave at 12:45 yes. to give a class, because I teach math. So it's not because of the class.
Thank you so much.
So then can we give credit now?
Thank you so much for whoever helped.
Thank you, and Bumi, and Fran for organizing
the
last
year.
Credit. That gave us a chizik to do it here now.
If you could start at 12:05.
I hope we do it as well as the way you did it.
But I want to clash with someone else is giving a share that ends at 12. That's why.
Oh, so then they could run from that to this at 12:05.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm afraid they won't make it. I don't want
to. Okay, go ahead.
So the question is, we're coming out of Pesach now. What is the purpose of Pesach? Now, we always say, I went through Pesach, but did Pesach go through me? What did I come out of Pesach a different person? Is my life changed? The great Rav Moshe Feinstein says, what's the purpose of Pesach? And every year, did you ever feel like, I'm not in kindergarten at the Seder. I know that Hashem passed over those houses. It's called Pesach because he passed over Passover. But what's so great about Passover? So Rav Moshe tells us, Hashem is constantly doing Nisim for us, whether we know about it or not. Now, you might know this already, and if you know all this stuff, it's all Chazara, and if I translate the Hebrew, that's the way that I learn, even if you know the translation. That's my style. I just want to explain that. We know, for example, if a person traveled, so you all just came, thank you so much for coming. You came from your houses. You came from, let's say, Meadow Ridge to Bluegrass. Whether you walk, whether he says, Uvein Hanoseya, the machine, right? Whether you travel in a machine, in an automobile, in a vehicle. And if nothing happened, if no accident happened, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, believe on her, nothing happened. Lo yachshov shehu baderach tivi. A person shouldn't think that that's how it's supposed to be. That's natural, it's uneventful. No, we shouldn't think that's how trips are, right? That's the given. No. Why is it that it was an uneventful trip? Why was it that way? That's because it's Hanhaga Miyucheres Me'Hashem Yisparach. That's Hashem getting involved in every minute detail, thwarting anybody from hurting us, preventing any damage. Shana Sandea Belev Hamazikim V'Halistim. There are harmful things out there, Chas V'Sham. There are all types of things out there. There are robbers, there are criminals. V'Lev Hanosim B'Machines below Achrai. So I like the word machines. There are people who are irresponsible drivers out there. They're all over the place. Now, why did no irresponsible drivers, no reckless drivers come my way today? Why not? Oh, because it was an uneventful trip, correct? He says, no, that's not true at all. Why is it? Why did it happen? Even though many accidents, chas v'shalom, happen, many injuries happen, chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, Hashem is the one who stopped all that from happening. Every single one of those mishaps was treated directly by Hashem, and it was orchestrated. Hashem pushed all those buttons actively to stop anything harmful from happening. That means when I walk from one room to another, when I walk across the street, it's not, oh, it was an uneventful walk. What do you expect? No, it doesn't have to be that way. he says, a person, why don't we, that could make me get up and dance right now if it wasn't Sphira. Because Hashem saved me from a million things. I walked home from Atara. I walked across the street. All those things Hashem saved me from. But why don't we appreciate all that, Reb Moshe says. Why not? Because the Gemara says, Ein ba'anes makir beniso. People who are the recipients of miracles, they don't recognize or sense them. And the only time, when is it that we realize that Hashem saved us? Should never happen. Only if Chas Hashem, something happened, and then I say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I made it out of that one. Oh, that was close. So he says, that's when we recognize that a miracle happened. Uka shapaga b'mashin shalo, mashin acher. If another machine collided with mine and I'm okay, then I realize it's okay. No, but he says, that's not how it's supposed to be. Even if there was no mishap, there was no close call, that's a direct, close attention, specialized attention, individualized attention from Hashem. What does that have to do with Pesach? So what were the Yidden doing? Sitting in their houses, correct? It says, Atem lo seitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad boker. You can't even leave. Not allowed to leave your house. You're sitting in the house and just jolly, carbon Pesach. Everything's beautiful and everything. Outside is absolute havoc going on out there. It's like everything broke loose. They're dropping dead. They're dropping like flies at every Egyptian's house. But he says that many of you couldn't tell that that's happening. Now, if you're next to a Mitzri and the Mitzri dies and I'm alive, that I understand. But all the other situations, which is most of it, people didn't even recognize it. So if Moshe says, that's a lesson for the whole year from Pesach. When we say, Hashem passed over our houses, that's happening today, at this second. A few months ago, actually maybe a year and a half ago, we were in the house, we heard a really loud bang. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And I said to myself, it sounds like a refrigerator fell over. But refrigerators don't just fall flat. So I looked all over the house. We couldn't find anything. Nothing. Checked everybody. Okay, I have no idea what that was. Next morning, go outside, and there's a piece of the chimney lying on the back ground in the back of the house. That piece of chimney, I don't want to say, even if a person had been wearing 10 helmets, it wouldn't have helped anything if the person was there at that time. Now, why was nobody there at that time? It's not because that's how it's supposed to be, it was uneventful. No, the Ribbono Shel Olam actually put into everybody's mind. He says, Hashem, what he does is he plays tricks on our minds and he micromanages our minds, where we're thinking. So he put into the minds of everybody they should be in their places at that time and nobody should ever go in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, this gives us a very warm feeling. This is like the Yisod HaBitachon. If you think about it, Pesach, that's passing over, the name of the whole Yontif is that Hashem passed over our houses and didn't plague us with anything, even though we might not have realized it. And that's happening every second. So if we realize this, this is the foundation of Bitachon. He says it's for the whole year. Of the three Yomim Tovim, what's the first Yontif? It's Pesach. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. The whole year is based on Pesach. That's our whole success. So why is it that people aren't happy all the time? Or they're worried? Because it's okay. We don't realize, we don't keep this in mind all the time. We don't remember this all the time. If we did, that would be a big foundation for Bitachon. And that's what Pesach, that's why it's called the Paschal Lamb. I mean, there are other names you could give for Pesach, but the most important thing about Pesach is that Hashem does Nisnim for us when we're not even realizing it. So if that's the case, if there are so many dangerous things out there, Chas V'Shalom, that could be bothering us, but they don't, so then that's frightening, isn't it? So the question is, now are we more frightened than we were before? Because now if we go out there, I realize, wait, Hashem saved me from this, He saved me from this, He saved me from reckless drivers, He saved me from DUIs, He saved me from people on drugs. And that's every tiny little trip I take, so then it's a little bit scary. So the question is, and we're just starting off today, do we really have to trust in Hashem? Does anybody know a source in the Torah that says you're not allowed to worry? And people are gripped with worry. The society, would you agree with me? There's a lot of worry out there, a lot of anxiety. Some people are, it's debilitating for some people. It's almost paralyzing for some people. The Sfarim say, we have trouble doing things quickly, with alacrity, with enthusiasm. We have trouble managing our tempers. All this has to do with worry. Shmiras HaLashon, why are people saying Lashon Hara about other people? Because they're worried. They're worried about their cover. They're worried about, they have anxiety. I wasn't given enough respect, the person wasn't nice to me. If we would not be worried or afraid of anything, if we would have totally yishuv das, then this mita of bitachon, it would impact everything, every other mita, and it would be such a positive experience in life. So the question is, if it's so important, where does it say that you're not allowed to worry? Does it say this anywhere? And that you have to trust in Hashem? Like, is it in the 613 mitzvos? I mean, is it d'oraisa? is it important to have this shir? That's the question. So everybody knows this psukim, right? You know all these psukim. Like, okay, that's in Yirmiyah. But that's in the Navi. A person is going to trust in Hashem. Hashem will become his trust. That's what it says. It's Trust in Hashem. There's so many psukim about trusting in Hashem, but they're all like in the Nevi'im, in the Ksuvim. Is there anything in the Chumashi Torah? Oh, excellent. So it's a voice from... Thank you. Onochi Hashem Elokecha. So with Dr. Plaska, right? Now this is Emuna. What's the relationship between Emuna and Bitachon? That's Emuna. So we believe that Hashem exists. That's Onochi Hashem Elokecha. We know that Hashem exists. Why? Because Hashem told us on Har Sinai in front of the whole Klal Yisrael that He exists. That's why we know that He exists, by the way. We have a collective memory that Hashem told us, I'm here. That's why we know. Oh yes, of course, we see Hashem every moment of our lives. That's true. That's not why we believe that Hashem exists. The Rambam and Rav Moshe said, we believe because Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai, and like all the other mitzvahs, He gave us this mitzvah.
So you're asking, where is your source in the Torah for what?
Bitachon. So Emunah, so Dr. Paskin, Emunah is definitely there. Emunah is here.
What about,
so you should love, oh, you say, oh, okay, you have to be willing to give your money.
Maldecha is also.
Fantastic, that's beautiful. There you have, hello. That is definitely a source in the Torah.
But yeah, is it a source?
That's a very important source. That's very important. In other words, you have to be modelo ma'od ma'od on every mitzvah that He's moded to you. That's beautiful. That's a fantastic source. So no matter what He does, whatever Hashem meets out to us, however He treats us, we have to be moded to Him, constantly acknowledging that He's fair and thanking Him and acknowledging His existence and that He's fair. That's a fantastic source. There will be sources. The answer is there are sources, but they're a little obscure sometimes. You were able to dig that out very simply and quickly. That was excellent. So it is in the Torah. In other words, when I started looking over this, and I've learned most of it on and off in my life and stuff, I said to myself, you know what? This is really rock solid in the Torah that we have to trust in Hashem and we're not allowed to worry. It's really clear in the Torah. It's not like a mitzvah, it's a good mitzvah to have, and it'll help us with it. If we don't have it, we don't really have anything. Now, we've been talking about Shemir Salashin many times over the years, but a lot of Shemir Salashin is violated because of people who have anxiety. If we didn't have anxiety, we wouldn't violate that. So one of them definitely is b'chol me'odecha. You have to be moded to Hashem no matter what He meets out to us. That's 100% true. However He treats me, no. B'chol me'odecha. Besides that, it's money, but it's also every mitzvah. Yes?
So in Torah, I don't know where, maybe you could say, ta'achas asher lo avadeta, Hashem lekecha v'simcha. Is that by the klalos? Like, what Hashem could actually bring klalos on you if you're not serving Hashem v'simcha.
So I want to put, right. So besides what Rebbetzin Spetner said, I want to put together what Dr. Plotzker said and what you said. Because what Dr. Plotzker said is the beginning, is Emunah. As the Sfarim say, as the Orcha Siddiqim says, without Emunah, there's no Bitachon, that's for sure. But that the Emunah is the cognitive understanding and appreciation that Hashem is here, He's everywhere. Bitachon is putting it into practice, and Simcha is the result, the grand, beautiful result of having that firm Bitachon. We're going to be B'Simcha. That's what the Orcha Siddiqim says.
So
in Parshas Kisavo, the only reason I know this Pasuk is because I had to prepare a bar mitzvah boy for his speech on this Pasuk. It's in Parachav Ches Pasuk Mem Zayin in Parshas Kisavo in the Tochacha, and that's the Pasuk he quoted. If you didn't serve Hashem out of Simcha, everybody knows this Pasuk. And then it says, because you didn't serve your, you didn't serve Hashem out of joy, from the abundance of everything you had, you'll serve your enemies. So the Rishonim say that the Torah is holding us accountable for not being besimcha. Now there's a machlokis. The overwhelming majority of Mefarshim say that this is true. If we don't have Simcha, then we are lacking in Avodas Hashem. The Gemara Eruchin says it's more than Simcha. It has to be Shira also. Now, can anybody tell me what's the difference between Simcha and Shira? What's Shira?
Outwardly.
Right. There has to be music, too. Did you know that? That's what the Gemara says. Part of Avodas Simcha is music. It's, whether it's Zemiras on Shabbos, whether it's a cappella during Sfira, it doesn't have to be every day singing all day. There has to be. If we never sing to Hashem, we're also lacking from our Simcha. That's part of Simcha. So this is a beautiful thing everybody's putting together here. Now, Mirz Hashem, as this will continue, and we delve into the song, we'll see that Simcha comes from Bitachon, but also if we cause ourselves to be B'Simcha, that can also foster the Bitachon inside of us and the Emunah. But Simcha, they say that the Rambam says that Simcha is an avoda by itself. It says Yashimeinu Hakasuv. One of the Rishonim says Hashem holds us guilty. He holds us responsible for not serving Hashem b'Simcha. If we are not b'Simcha, then we're lacking in avodas Hashem. Now, a person, this is bothersome to some Mefarshim. Can anybody tell me what's the objection? If we're not b'Simcha, we're not really serving Hashem right. Now, this bothersome Mefarshim. What if you're not up to it? What if you're depressed? What if you're anxious? What am I supposed to do? to myself if I'm not happy? What if I'm depressed? What am I going to do? So those who feel that it's an avoda and that it's required say, so do whatever it is. You might have to work through it. It's like a storm that comes through. We work through the storm. But when the lightning and thunder stops and whatever the high winds, so then we're back. We got to be back there again. You know, you have to weather the storm. Okay, you can't help that. You're an honest. But that's not supposed to be how we go through life. Without simcha, it has to be with simcha, and that's how Rabbeinu Bachai and the Rambam, that's why they say simchas beis ha-shoeva. It says, who is dancing in the beis hamikdash during simchas beis ha-shoeva? Who is dancing? It says chasidim v'anshei ma'isa. They are the ones because they know what simcha is. They know what avodas Hashem is. The other people, they didn't even grasp what kind of simcha this is. So, but everyone has to work on that simcha. So that's going to be one of the later stages of Mir Hashem. I don't know how long we're going to continue this, but like in weeks from now, we're going to talk about that in the Orchas Tzaddikim. So. Yes.
A funny question.
Please, yeah.
Like, I thought a cappella was bad.
Oh, you mean like during Sphere? What,
yeah,
mean,
during
oh, not to
Sphere.
Listen to it?
Yeah.
No, just singing. I mean, okay, unless you all like the Tzitz Eliezer, but just singing for sure is okay. That's for sure. I don't know. I know there's one sheet to the Tzitz Eliezer says you can't do
right.
it. But most post-game, I mean, even they say a cappella is okay. And
aren't
so,
we supposed to be in mourning a little bit? Like,
yeah.
We're
but
not supposed to be Besimcha, the extra Besimcha nail, like just regular happy, but. Shira and all that, the music is what makes us simcha, so a cappella is...
I mean, if you hold like Lashon HaZalman, so any freilich music is a problem, but if it's not freilich music, then it's fine, and he held even classical music, if you're a Talmud of Lashon HaZalman Arba.
Well, let's say I want to be more machmir.
Right. I wonder if this is really a chumrah. That's what I'm wondering about. If there's so much anxiety in the world, and we need to dispel this with our spirit of... You know, of enthusiasm, and I don't know, it might be better. Sometimes it might be a husband, or whatever you call
that. I think that what we have to define here is simcha. There's probably different levels of simcha.
Mm-hmm.
And so the simcha that we have now, or at different times, you have different simchas, but it has to be simcha. If we can get a definition, it's not fun. It's not fun. Simcha is not, it's not fun. So what is simcha? So if we can get like a definition of what simcha is, then I think that would explain.
Right, that's for sure. So first of all, I just want you to know that if you notice the word simcha, everything in Lashon HaKodesh is absolutely real and it's utter reality. The word simcha is made of sheh macha. That the person, now where does it say in the Torah the word macha, mem cheshei, where does it say?
Macha Hashem.
Something.
It says kimacho. If you look, we look in Parshas Beshalach kimacho emche ezecher amalek. Macha. That's where you find the word macha in the Torah, and that's in Parshas
there's
Beshalach.
There's another place also, right?
No.
There macha shem dima mi alkohan.
That's
right. That's in the end of Moed Katan. It brings that pasuk. It says, Bila Hamavas Netzach, Macha Shem Dima Me'al Kapanim V'Chepas Amo Yosir. Correct. That's good. That's a good one also. That's erasing tears. That's
right.
A good one. That's really good. Very good. It's connected because Amalek, we know, Gematria Suffolk, all Sphakos, they're the origin of sadness and anxiety and uncertainty and everything. So really, it's all connected. So the word Macha.
Like doubt?
Yeah, doubt.
Doubting Hashem.
Right. Doubt everything. I'm not sure. I don't know. You know, like, I'm all over the place. I don't know what's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if everything's going to be okay. That's Amalek right there.
So doubt is doubting Hashem, like
doubting, confident. Right.
So
I'm saying that simcha is sheh macha. The person has blotted out his element of Amalek, at least temporarily, at least for this moment, is emancipated from all the constraints of negative emotions. That's simcha sheh macha. The person has blotted this out, has blotted out Amalek. We know there's Amalek in every person. Amalek is every possession. That's the Eight Sahara. That's the microcosm of Amalek. So I'm just suggesting that the word simcha, it's not a coincidence that that's the word simcha. So really, the definition of simcha that Mrs. Nelman is saying is that it's a liberation from the constraints of negative emotions, really. Now, that can come and go. We know that the Nevi'im couldn't have Nevu without Simcha. That's in the Orchas Tzaddikim you're talking about, also talks about this. We know that there was a Navi who was angry. Remember the Navi? Remember Elisha got really angry at one of the Malchai Yisrael?
Well, I haven't even dialed the number.
So, he got angry because the Melech Yisrael, who was a Rasha, came in. And then what happened is his nevuah flew out of him. So we can't be expected to be besimcha every second. And what does the pasuk say there? It says, kehuli menagein. What did he say? What did the Navi say? Kehuli menagein. Get me a musician. The pasuk in Malachim Beis. Right? Remember the pasuk, right? What is that? Oh, shalom. Right, the same thing with Shaul and David. That's correct. He had a ruach ra. That's a great example of a... That's melancholy that Shaul was suffering from. It was... Who knows what that ruach ra was. A different epic... Shut him what it was. He needed David to play the harp, and the Navi Elisha said, get me a musician. I can't even have devuah now. I can't move on with my life without music right now. And then it says, Vayhi kanagin hamanagin, when the musician played, what does it say then? Vati olav yad Hashem. Then he got his divine inspiration back. It was music. So this simcha that we have, it can't be every second. It's not humanly possible. But that's supposed to be our goal. We're supposed to be anchored in simcha. If we don't have emunah, so back to the emunah, which leads to bitachon, then we will never be able to get to the simcha. And we're able to have, obviously we have ups and downs all the time. Every human being does. It's yimei ha'ava v'yimei ha'asina. So there's a great source as you were bringing. In my quest for this, I didn't have to look far, because we do it in Chumash class. So on the battlefield, what does the Kohen say to Bnei Yisrael? It's not Parshas Kisete, Parshas Shoftim, the end of Shoftim. When you go out to war on your enemies, you're going to see horses and chariots. There's more people than you can handle, than you can prevail over. There's more than you can handle in life. Lo sira mayhem. Lo sira mayhem. Now it sounds like he's talking to soldiers, right? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's a pasuk in Parshas Shoftim. Don't be afraid. Now it's talking about a battlefield, right? Heilige Rabbeinu Yonah. Husharnu bazeh. What were we warned about here? She'im yire ha'adam. If a person sees kitzara krova, that a hardship is coming close. There are challenges in life. Who doesn't have challenges? Some are big, some are small. Some last long, some last short. When a person sees that, tiye yeshuas Hashem bilvavo, the salvation of Hashem has to be in the person's heart. Ve'yiftach aleha. And he has to trust in Hashem's salvation. Now, many Mefarshim say it's talking to soldiers on the battlefield. And that's what it's about. Rabbeinu Yonah is a Rishon. He says, no, that's not what it's only about. It's about everything. It's about today, right now. It says, lo sira mayhem. Every person has crises. Every person has difficulties and challenges. And he says, tzara krova. Yes, everybody has tzara. Some of them are small. Hopefully they're all going to be small. But this is... You're not allowed to be afraid. It says right here, that means anything I'm afraid of, I'm not allowed to be afraid. I wonder how it's going to turn out. No, I don't wonder how. I know how it's going to turn out. I know it's going to be okay. Now you might say, what do you mean? How do I know it's going to be okay? So we're going to learn in the subsequent weeks, Emirat Hashem, how do we know that? We're able to create that reality. That's why. It's Mida Kenegd Mida. That's what this farm says. The Chafetz Chaim says, okay, I'm ready with the Chafetz Chaim here. Chafetz Chaim is going to tell us. By the way, the Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer. You know Machne Yisrael? He wrote it for the soldiers. They're in the battlefield. There are bullets whizzing by. Now, you could walk between the raindrops sometimes, but to walk between the bullets, that's not advisable. But he tells them, no, you can. If you're on the battlefield and there are bullets whizzing by, if you have bitachon, that you will come out fine, you will. The Chafetz Chaim says it, it's guaranteed. The Chafetz Chaim says it. That's his mahalach in bitachon. That means any challenge that I have, if I trust in Hashem that it's going to come out okay, not just, oh, whatever happens, I'll have to accept it. No, no, it's better than that. I am allowed to trust that it's going to come out okay, and according to the amount of bitachon I have, that's how my salvation is going to be. And I'm sure you've heard this concept before. It's proportionate. What is that? Oh, I know this is not focus. This year, he doesn't hold that way, right? It's machlok, I know. The Chafetz Chaim definitely holds, because the Chafetz Chaim holds, I'll tell you what. See, for soldiers on a battlefield, I don't know how the Chazon Ish's mahalach is going to work. Because if you go like the Chazon Ish, what is the soldier going to think, if I understand correctly? Okay, so I might be alive, I might be not alive by the end of this battle, but I accept it all from Hashem. Wouldn't that be the Chazon Ish? The Chafetz Chaim says, no, that's not what we do. No. You go out on the battlefield, and he proves it. He proves it from David HaMelech in Malach and Shmuel. That no, he says, proportionate to the bitachon is the Yeshua. And you know why it makes a lot of sense? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi, says, "Kol min dosef shel kodesh baruch hu, mida kenegen mida." Everything's measure for measure. So it's absolutely logical, based on Hashem's treatment of human beings, that if I have bitachon, that Hashem's going to save me, then guess what? He's going to save me. The Chafetz Chaim goes with that approach. This year is mainly going to go with that approach. I mean, you have to admit, doesn't it work better for somebody on a battlefield than saying, I'll accept either way what's going to happen, because according to the Chafetz Chaim, if he thinks that, he doesn't have as much of a chance of coming home alive. If he thinks, I am going to come home alive. Yes?
Isn't a piece of bitachon that if it's meant to be that I'm going to be, and I'm supposed to die now, I'm going to die now. It's not a guarantee you're not going to die, it's a guarantee that the bullet is not what killed you.
Hashem decided it was your time.
Okay, so that's different. No, that's a very...
But
that's
you have those both views together perfectly. Like, it's not the bullet that killed you, it's the fact that your time was up.
Right. So the second one, according to the approach we're going to go, this Mahalach, we use that after the fact. But we try not to use that ahead of the fact, because when it's ahead of time, we're actually able to create a zuchus that we're going to actually be able to come out of this in a favorable, positive way, and that will be the outcome. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says here. So I don't know if that makes sense. I agree with you, though. There has to be a pshar. There's a compromise, the two pshatim together, and to mesh them and to synthesize them, that would be wonderful if we could do that. But the Chofetz Chaim's approach, and the one here, is it could be more extreme than that. It could be more extreme to the good than that. But yes, that's an eloquent way of expressing it. There's no question about it. So for the people who want to know about the time, generally we're going to go like 4 more minutes, and then that's how it's going to be. So if you want to know where we're standing. Anyway, we're going to kind of like start to summarize what we learned today. So I just wanted, the Pasuk Rabbeinu Yonah brings is, Ach korov l'yireyav yisho, close to those who fear Hashem is his salvation. And then I love this Pasuk brings in Yeshaya Perek Nunalv. Mi at vatir I me'enosh yamus. What do the words seem to say? Who are you that you should be afraid of a person who's going to die? Now, what is that supposed to mean? If you look at the Metzudah, Miyat, Bas Tzadikim Kamosech. You're a daughter of Tzadikim. Everybody here, spiritually noble person. Umalei Zuchuyos, full of merits. Every person here, Lomatiri Me'enosh. Why should you be afraid of any person? Any relative, any non-relative, any person of any religion, why be afraid? Asher Sofa Lemus. He's mortal. People are mortal. Why should I be afraid of that? There's no need to be afraid. We're not allowed to be afraid. Rabbeinu Yonah holds we're not allowed to. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, everybody holds one thing for sure. I have to say, on the battlefield, it says everybody holds that on the battlefield, any soldier who's afraid, and also that's detectable, and it's discernible, he's over on an Isha D'Oraisa, and if he causes other people to lose their morale, he is a murderer. That's the soldier on the battlefield who's wishy-washy in his bitachon. That's what the Mefarshim say about the soldier on the battlefield. But Rabbeinu Yonah holds it's the battlefield of life. It's more than just the battlefield. I'm just saying, this is the Rabbeinu Yonah's pshat and how he explains it. There's a lot to talk about here. There's a lot of philosophical points. There's a lot of hashkafic and muster points. How does this work? Masilsi Shrim seems to indicate the bitachon isn't really required. He says it later in the Sefer. But earlier he does mention it, so the question is bitachon required, or is it just a prerequisite for everything else? That's also something we have to get into. In the subsequent times, Meretz Hashem, so we saw Rabbeinu Yonah, we're going to delve more into, first we're going to kind of backtrack and talk about why would one meetup, why should we like have so many sessions about one meetup bitachon? That's what we're going to talk about all. So why don't we just try to tackle all the mitos together? What's the virtue of like zeroing in on one mita? That's something, it's a science in Maseches Avos to talk about that.
What do you mean by zeroing in?
In other words, we're having all these sessions on bitachon, but there's like so many mitos. There's like anger and there's jealousy and there's laziness. But the kitzer, we're going to see how this could impact everything. And one reason I'm talking about it now is because, particularly, I find it challenging, this mita. So that's why I'm also working on it now. So I'm choosing to look at this mita right now.
Which mita?
Of bitachon. So I'm saying that we're going to talk about the fact that this mita can actually impact and influence everything, all our other mitos, very, very powerfully. And that's one reason I'm going to talk about this mita and how it's true, that concept is that through one mita you can get to everything else. And Amir Tzashem, when we continue, we're going to really talk about how the Chofetz Chaim explains the battlefield situation, and how that the battlefield of life, the Mesilas Yesharim says, we know that be'emes, a person is musam besocha mochama hachazaka. Life is really, it really is a battlefield sometimes. It's a big turmoil, and we need this for this. And we're also going to discuss Mesilas Yesharim the next time, something to look forward to. How much can we ask Hashem to help us with this mida? And how important is that? And is that acceptable? Hashem, can I be spoon-fed? Hashem, give me bitachon. We're going to see that, yes, we're allowed to say to Hashem, Hashem, this is too hard for me. I don't have bitachon. I don't have it by nature. Please give me some bitachon. Can I have a dose of bitachon? We can actually ask for it. Mirza Hashem, that's going to be talked about next time as well. Okay, so now, thank you so much for coming. If anybody has questions, you know, it's my pleasure.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, thank you, yeah.
Okay. Tehillim, the whole Tehillim, is like about David HaMelech's anxiety.
Yeah, seems to be. Meaning where he's asking Hashem for help and he's crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things that happened in Shmuel that he talks about. I'm sure you know that Tehillim, he reflects on many of his life events and his crises. He had a big crisis.
Right.
I mean, he was mortal danger so many times.
Right.
So, but what happened is that he worked through each one, and he came out on top every time. And that's what the bitachon aspect of David is. You notice in the Maseiros Yesharim how he cites David as the model human being, the Baal Midos, the person who says, he says, I can chase my Erdof Oivai Ve'asi game. He had such confidence on the battlefield, David HaMelech, because he had such bitachon, but he had terrible crises also. And we're going to learn, for example, there's a person in Chumash, you can guess who it is, who you would think was the Tzadik Shevet Tzadikim. He would absolutely have rock hard bitachon, solid bitachon, but yet it says that his face turned colors because he was in mortal danger. And here's the hint. He was sold for a very little bit amount of money because he looked terrible. Who's that person?
Yosef.
It's Yosef. So it says that Yosef was sold for 20 silver pieces. Yosef mm-hmm. Atzadik.
Yeah.
So there's machlokes. Was it 20 silver pieces per brother? Or was it the total sum of 20 silver pieces? If you go with the second shot, that's a very embarrassing amount for a beautiful, you know, handsome person, strong person, like, to be sold for that? That's a terrible bargain. So why was it? Why did they get such a good price for him? So Das Kanim says one of the pshatim is because when he was in the pit, the snakes and scorpions, his face turned color. He paled from it, yellow. He's sitting in this pit with snakes and scorpions. So therefore, 20 silver pieces, it's a shameful amount that these guys paid for the Ishmaelim. Huh. So what I think about, wait a minute, doesn't he have bitachon? He turned pale because of snakes and scorpions? It says that Tzaddik is in charge of the whole natural world. Adam was told, Urdu, you will rule over everything in the animal kingdom if you're a Tzaddik. Yosef a Tzaddik! How could he be nervous from snakes and scorpions? The answer is because Yosef a Tzaddik was in mortal danger, that's why. If he was in mortal danger, according to this shot, it's okay that his face turned colors. Because even Yosef a Tzaddik, the giant of giants, even he became anxious when there are snakes and scorpions sitting next to him. The amazing thing is they weren't able to hurt him.
Right.
So David HaMelech Kal V'Chomer, David has crises. David has anxiety. There's people trying to kill him. I mean, his father-in-law, talk about in-laws. He was an outlaw, his father-in-law, not an in-law at that time. So the thing is, that's going to cause him to have anxiety. But the main thing is, how does he come out at the end? And how does he work it through when it's happening? And what is he striving for? He's striving to master this bitachon. I know this is true because the Chafetz Chaim analyzes one specific incident with David, how David absolutely, he fell apart. And I'm going to leave it as a mystery. I'm going to leave it, you might know what it is already, but he fell apart. He couldn't do it. He was immobilized. He was absolutely paralyzed with grief. But then he picked himself up. When he picked himself up, the Chafetz Chaim says, look at that pasuk when he picked himself up. That's what we all have to do. We've come through terrible crises, hopefully not too terrible. We've come through them, but we're still here. And that means we've got to do something with it. Don't think what happened back there. Try to pick it up from now on. Now, sometimes people need counseling, people need therapy, people need, you know, post-trauma. It's all real, and we can't deny that that's true. But our goal has to be to pick ourselves up from it. So the anxiety of David HaMelech, that's for us. Our Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Wein, always says, why is the Tanakh full of these kind of things? Why is it full of the shortcomings, the failures? There, why is it there? Because if the Tanakh didn't have that in there, then we would think there's no hope for us. Because if I have shortcomings and failures and embarrassing moments, really terrible, mortifying, you know, moments like that, I have them, then there's no hope for me. Yeah, but if you see it happen to David, and he picked himself up, I can relate to this already. I can relate to it. That's why the Tanakh is there. That's why Rabbi Wein told me. He said, he has on one of his tapes, there was a biography of the Chafetz Chaim that never got published. Did you know about the biography? The unpublished biography of the Chafetz Chaim. Maybe it got published since then. You know why it didn't get published? Because it wasn't going to be popular. Because it talked about something, a part of his life, where he had a down part of his life. He was learning so much. He was learning all the time. He became depressed because he didn't have enough sleep and enough food. Rabbi Wein said this. They wanted to publish it, and no, it was blown away. It was shot down because people said, people aren't going to be interested in a biography like that. Because it's not going to be popular. If you don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Rabbi Wein said, that's the stuff you need to hear. Because if I heard that, and he's still the Chafetz Chaim, so I need to hear that David fell apart. I need to hear that. Then he picked himself up again. So then if I fall apart, I can also, I'm not going to try to fall apart. You can't help it sometimes. So I will recover, Bezrus Hashem. I will have bitachon. I will rebuild. I will rebuild my emunah and my bitachon and my simcha. And I will not stop building it. the whole time I'm on this earth, I'm going to build it every single moment. That's what I'm going to do. So does that help to understand about that?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.